Hi, this is The Nose at Cider Chat, speaking to you from Ciderville. And you are listening to Cider Chat's 1 year anniversary podcast episode.
Episode 52. Welcome to the 1 year anniversary podcast episode for Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Wincaller, and I am your Cider MC. On this weekly podcast, where I have been posting and publishing chats with cider makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week, well, we're just celebrating all things cider and just giving you some behind-the-scenes scoops and a little bit of musings and looking back over the past year. I'll give you a little bit of a glimpse into our upcoming chat with Eric Bordelais from Normandy, France, and so much more. In the meantime, I thought it'd be fun for you and I to sit down with one of my favorite people, The Nose, who has been helping behind the scenes for the past year in so many ways. So let's grab a glass and join a chat with The Nose and I, as we reflect over 1 year out in Ciderville.
Bonjour to The Nose.
Good morning. Bonjour. Hola. Hi, Rhea. How's it going?
Pretty good. You're so much better with language than I am. My goodness.
I wouldn't say that.
Let's see. You threw in a little Dutch, a little bit of French, and a little bit of Espanol.
I think we were doing that all throughout the last trip.
I was messing it up right and left. You were keeping me on track. I had the most difficult time with that word, austerius.
It helps when you only know 10 words in each language.
What 10 words should you know in each language?
Hello. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I don't speak your language.
And donde está the bathroom?
El baño.
El baño.
That's right.
El baño or?
El baño, yes.
See, that's where I get it mixed up because I would be in the Netherlands and I know it's toiletten, very, you know, kind of crisp.
Right. If you ask for an el baño in Dutch, in the Netherlands, they're not going to know what you're saying.
I know. And I don't even know what they call it in France. I was kind of thankful that I never had to ask because if I said toiletten, they would look at me. And if I said donde está el baño, they would look at me. What is it in French? I don't even still don't know.
I don't know. We'd have to get the book for that.
We were moving so quickly, and I thought that we'd kind of catch up a little bit. This is the 1 year anniversary week, so I guess that's the episode. So we should kind of clue Ciderville in here.
We need to toast.
Okay.
To 1 year for
all right.
Sure.
I'm drinking out of my CCP glass, which is I got at CiderCon in Portland, Oregon. It's this nice little kind of tulip shaped glass, but it's kind of heavy. And you're drinking out of a really nice.
That's an old crystal goblet.
Yeah. Let's see what this sounds like when we clink. Ooh. Ooh, that worked pretty good.
Nice.
Okay, cheers. And we're having a little bit of Agathe Lethier's Cidre Cuvée Saint-Georges. And this is from the Pays d'Auge. This has the appellation. And this was a bottle that she gave to you, and it has that beautiful label on the front.
So and it's delicious.
It's absolutely delicious. All that kind of farmhouse funkiness, but a little. Mm.
It's a really beautiful golden color.
Yeah, it's not dry. It's like a semi-sweet, really feeling beautiful golden color. And the the nose. What does the nose say about the nose? She's breathing into the glass. That doesn't mean that she doesn't have a really long nose. She just has a very refined nose, which helped me out quite a bit when we were in the Netherlands. What are you picking up there?
Definitely a little farm.
Well, for sure. Kind of that little
pear.
Little pear.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of wet hay. Mm. I just love that style of cider. I would say if I had a favorite style, it is that wild yeast farmhouse style cider, just made from the apples. There nothing else added. I know there's no sugar added to this. This was bottle conditioned and given by somebody that we totally fell in love with while we were visiting her. And I think that is really the message over this past year, that as we're going along in Ciderville, that I felt on our trip that we're there, and as it's continued on with the different episodes, that, you know, it's one part the product and the other part is your connection to that person and their story, which I feel is what this podcast is about, is really being part of that story with the person and sharing it and, you know, essentially grabbing that glass and joining in a chat with them. And I really feel that from her. She was an amazing, amazing person.
I agree. I think the whole trip was a really good example of that. I know that the highlights for both of us really revolved around the people that we met, mm-hmm. and how each one of them had a passion for what they were doing. And Agat in particular, her beauty and aesthetics really spoke to me. Mm-hmm. The way that she has her signs up and how she has her store set up, and we're just really, really inviting to both individuals like us who are traveling in the mm-hmm. back roads, as well as a tour bus situation, which I know that she has every Thursday. Mm-hmm. And she meets people in kind of across the board that way. I really appreciated that mm-hmm. about her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a nice visit. And certainly her food and feeding us lunch, she saw that we weren't going to have lunch, and she originally, we weren't planning on having lunch with her, and all of a sudden she said, well, you're not going to have time before you go see Didier Bidou. And so she said, I'm going to give you lunch. And
she set us up. Oof. She totally set us up.
It was like a pate, a salad, and I think some potatoes. Weren't there potatoes?
Roasted
there?
Potatoes and camembert.
Yeah.
Cheese. And French bread.
French bread. Perfect.
It was the perfect peasant food. It was really simple, but, you know, I
peasant
know.
Peasant or kind of like French countryside?
French countryside. Right. French countryside.
Right. Peasant kind of sounds like.
Well, it wasn't like a
she's
hot dog on the side of the road.
Her nose is rolling her eyes at me.
I think we both enjoyed the simplicity of it. It was over the top delicious. Mm. But there was a simplicity that we both appreciated. That it wasn't over the top mm-hmm. in a pretentious way at all.
No. And it had cider. And she was pouring cider for us. So we were well fed and nourished, and she shared so much, including that outrageous laugh, which is one of my favorite laughs so far on all my podcast episodes.
The coffee.
They're putting coffee in cider. Everything that you can imagine.
You drink your cider at the breakfast now.
Well,
face.
Why not?
That's a good idea. To expand.
Well, also,
your cider for the breakfast. In your coffee.
But that's a little bit.
That's a good idea.
Well, it's got a little higher. I feel like I drink a bunch of cider. Coffee and cider. We all lost it on
that. She couldn't believe it. But, you know, we're kind of leaving a couple things out here. And I just want to say, for folks who haven't listened to that episode with Agat Letier, that is episode 49. But we actually arrived in Amsterdam and went straight to Appels en Peren, and that's where we met Helene Noble and Ilko Huizinga, and that was a fantastic meetup too. And that was kind of nice for me, because a lot of times I'm doing podcast chats and I'm kind of going alone, but having you there, helping both with the photos, but really having them open bottle after bottle after bottle.
I'd like to try that.
We're talking a lot about cider, but would you also like to taste, maybe?
Oh, I always like a little taste, of course. Well, I would love to try one of the Nederlandse ciders.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
because we have everything in the shop, also in chills, ready for people to take away.
I see you have it all chilled there. Perfect.
Yeah, you know, the smaller bottles in the back.
How do you know so much about cider? Because certainly you're working here.
I will never pretend I know a lot about cider.
Well said.
I think that the knowledge comes by tasting them.
That looks delicious.
They were
very accommodating.
Oh, yeah. They're accommodating people, and what a nice store that is.
If we had had more time, I would have loved to have gotten a bottle from Apples and Perrin and gone out on a boat with a little food and enjoyed a little bit more time in Amsterdam and then gone to Rotterdam the next day, too. That would be another trip I would send people on if people have a little bit more time.
And what you're saying, a boat ride is doing a canal ride in Amsterdam. And they are very open for people to bring a cider on the boat. Mm-hmm. And I really like doing the Blue Boat Tours, which is out by the Leidensplein. And what's nice about that is they have an inside the boat section. And then you could also go out on the back side of the boat, which is all open air. Mm-hmm. And they have this big, giant, like, metal thing in the middle. And folks are kind of a little bit nervous, but because I've been on those boats so many times, I know you could sit on it. And one of the tricks of the trade, if you're there and it's in the winter, you sit on it, and that's where the engine is, and it's warm. So you have a warm seat.
I always
bring a hat because you end up out in the open air, out in like the, I call it the harbor of Amsterdam. I don't really know. I get so turned around when I'm there. And a lot of fun. So we went to see Apples and Pannon. That's episode 48. I did an episode last year with Wouter Bills.
Hello, this is Wouter Bell, Cider, Rotterdam, the Netherlands.
Episode 2.
Alrighty, I could see the Rotterdam skyline. I'm walking along a beautiful section of the harbor here, boats in the distance, and it just feels really festive. It's on a Sunday, quite nice. Had an easy time finding parking, which made it really nice for me. And it was a quick drop-off from the highway to get to this place, Cider. And I was looking for a storefront. I didn't see it, but I have a hunch that it's up by this area where it's called the Phoenix Food Factory, and I'm going to go up there. I also know by chance or by Twitter connection that there's a big after-party happening there. There was a large brew fest yesterday, a little north of here, and the after-party is at the Capsu Brewery. So that made it very convenient. Go to a Cider, and also experience the brewery, too. This place is really crazy. I can't wait to step inside. So I'm going to walk along this little path and want to really encourage you to not be shy about driving in the Netherlands and certainly not be shy about getting off the highway in Rotterdam and checking out the city, because I found it really accessible. And the cool thing about the Dutch is that whenever you're lost, there's always a sign. Let's start from the beginning. Welcome to Cider Chats, episode 0. Then it was Field Maloney.
Right.
West County Cider. That was an amazing chat.
This is Field Maloney of West County Cider in Coleraine, Massachusetts, in the USA. And you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 1.
West County was my introduction to cider years ago.
Yeah.
It was my first cider that I ever tried and loved it.
Mm. Yeah.
Both the dried Baldwin and the Redfield are ones that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many good memories there. The funny thing that people don't know about that particular episode with Field was in the middle of that chat, he was talking to me, and without a beat, the chair that he was sitting on broke, and he fell backwards. Everything went flying.
Poor Field.
Oh, my God. Especially since he didn't expect me to show up that day. But by the time I was there, he kind of went with it. And then, what, you know, was it going to be short, turned on to a longer situation. he just kind of got up from that broken chair and just kept on talking. The guy was so—he was styling. I was really, really impressed. That was a really powerful chat, and it was a great way to kind of launch this podcast last year. That went live during Cider Days. Then it was with Wouter Bills from Cider Cider in Rotterdam, who had been talking about. He has that great place right at the Phoenix Food Factory where you could get charcuterie and cheese and the Caps breweries right there. Beautiful view of Rotterdam.
That barbecue out in the back,
mm-hmm.
right on the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
And then there was Robert Coles building a cider house. And Robert passed away this past year at the age of 96. And any folks attending Cider Days should know that this year's Cider Days event that's taking place two weeks from now, November 4th, 5th, and 6th, that Cider Days is dedicated to Robert. While I was at Cider Days...
Not just in New Salem.
The whole Cider Days.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
I don't know if they're doing anything special or not, but I know that that's true. And then the other thing is I know that Judith Maloney from West County Cider is in the neighborhood, and I'm placing bets now that sometime during this event, Judith is going to be standing on a chair and making some announcement.
Really?
I just hope somebody spots the woman. She is one loose cannon, that gal. And, that's pretty much at every Cider Days that I know, and of course I've known every single one. She would, in the early days when it was just a small group of us at the end of the one-day event, she would get up on the chair and try to, you know, move us out like cattle because we just would want to have one more cider.
This does not surprise me.
I know. And stand up on a chair and make an announcement. So I really hope that folks recognize who she is. And I did tweet a photo of her when I saw her at a meeting a week or so ago. So that's a treasure that she's going to be around. And while I was at Cider Days last year, I had the opportunity to do a recording with Nick Gunn and Dave White.
Hey everybody, it's Nick Gunn with Wandering Angus Ciderworks from Salem, Oregon.
This is Dave White from Whitewood Cider Company in Olympia, Washington, and you're listening to Cider Chat.
And you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 4.
Nick Gunn has since moved on from Wandering Angus out in Oregon. I don't know if you knew that. And he's doing his own kind of like cider consulting. And Dave White is from Whitewood Cider. And I know that Whitewood Cider is going to be pouring at Cider Day, so that's pretty exciting.
Excellent.
And Dave's going to be there. And then, actually, one of my favorite episodes from the past year was, excuse me, with President Adams, President John Adams.
Who could that be? Don't they see the shh podcasting sign? President Adams? I heard that President Obama was on a podcast, and I heard you were doing a thanks podcasting show. And so, absolutely, Mr. President, here's the mic. If we had podcasting back at the time of the birth of our nation, I would have been able to thank podcasting for helping me avoid that long, long ride on my horse all the way from Boston, Massachusetts to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to quibble with Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, that is, about the Declaration of Independence. Podcasting is a form of free speech that benefits all, and I raise my trusty tankard of cider to podcasting. Well, thanks, John. I mean, Mr. President. You are most certainly welcome. Now carry on. Mr. President, before you go, would you like to have a glass of cider before you get back on your horse?
Well, yes, I most certainly would.
Excellent. Well, what do you think about that, Mark Maron? Anyone can have a president on their show, but a founding father? Jeez Louise.
I just want to say there was a founding father on the podcast. Excuse me. Anyways.
Moving right along.
Then there was Paul Zacco, who won Cider Maker of the Year for 12 times in a row.
That's That's crazy making. Yeah.
This is Paul Zacco. I own Zacco's Home Brewing in Willimantic, Connecticut. I had a guy yesterday who's doing five ciders. Gallon jugs. He's a new cider maker. Five ciders. He trusted me to pick Y yeast to make his first batch, which came out just right. Perfect. I had residual sugar, a touch, residual apple flavor, residual body, opposed to a wine yeast, like champagne, most common,
right,
which kills most everything and just leaves a dry white cider. If you like that sort of thing, try white wines. You'd like it, but the body is gone. So
he did a really nice podcast.
Well, clearly well-deserved.
Well-deserved, and he has his own homebrew shop. Then we had
David Kortz with Sonoma Cider, and I'm from Healdsburg in the northern part of California.
I met up with him at a beer festival last year, and that was nice to talk to him. He's on the board of the United States Association of Cider Makers. And then there was a group of guys that we had here from Canada.
I begin with my name, yeah, after that the region, and finally the
cider
name
house.
Of Cider House, and you're listening to Cider Chat.
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, lovely voice.
I did it.
What is your name? What is your name?
So my name is Marc Antoine Lanier. I'm from Quebec, near from Montreal. I'm from the Les Vergers de la Colline Cider Company, and you're listening to Cider Chat.
This is episode 8.
They had amazing cider.
They do.
Really, really, yeah. Yes.
That's a Quebec cidery.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and I know that they're also going to be at Cider Days, too. At least they're ciderous. Then we talked to somebody from Angry Orchard. Who is that guy?
Is that Ryan?
Ryan Burke. Yeah. And I'm kidding, Ryan. Grant Ryan is on there. He's a good guy. He's on the board. I think he's everywhere.
We just saw you on Treehouse Masters, too. You were great.
I want one.
I know.
I want one. That was just 9 episodes. And look at all those people that are on here. This has just been a phenomenal year. And, you know, the list goes on. One of the things that has really been a key focal point for me with the podcast is that it is an international podcast and that we're not just focused on the U.S. And one of my reasons behind that is so that we are taking all these amazing skills from around the world and sharing them. And the U.S. is, of course, I'm an American citizen, so I have a certain attachment there. Mm-hmm. The U.S. has their own scene going on. But at the same time, we're finding Poland has their own scene going on. Certainly France and the U.K. do, too. And
Tokyo?
Tokyo was
Australia.
Just last week, that was Sam Reed from Cider Australia and Willie Smith's.
How many countries have you interviewed now?
Well,
did we
thank you for asking,
that?
Actually. That's so funny. I just counted them, 15 countries, including the United States. And within the United States, 16 states.
That's incredible. In 1 year.
Yeah, I know.
That's a reason to celebrate.
I know. Here.
But
here,
we'll do another cheers one for that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Could get dangerous. Ooh. 15 countries. I should say that I recorded 15 countries, but some of those chats haven't been going live yet. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a whole section coming up on the trip to Asturias in Spain. Yeah, that's really exciting. And, you know, there's like 10 chats in there from around the world. What an amazing experience.
I can't wait to hear that.
I can't wait either. And it was a little trippy because I was the only American there.
And there was am I right that there was no American cider there? And out of 1,000,
Out of 1,000 ciders, not a single. Yeah, it was a lost opportunity for the Americans. Primarily because you get to introduce your cider to other countries.
Sure.
You know, the interplay there, the enthusiasm is kind of like being at a mini CiderCon. Mm-hmm. And you get to sell your ciders, so you're getting to kind of put those out to the world. They really take care of the attendees in an amazing way. So it was a missed opportunity that I hope doesn't repeat itself in subsequent years. And I'll talk more about that.
Mm.
But, yeah, very, very, very interesting for me.
Well, I was sorry that I missed that part of the trip, but I'm so glad that you were invited to go and got to participate in that.
I know. I feel like I made friends forever. Yeah. So on that trip, we haven't talked about yet, is Eric Bordelais, who's going to be coming up. And I'm going to play a little clip, you know, today with Eric, just to give people a little teaser clip.
Has it been an unusual weather year, dry here?
Yes, summer. It's crazy because until July was rain all the time and too much rain. And after July, it was 40 degrees, 35, 40. It was very hot.
Mm.
So the fruit stopped to grow and the leaves was quite dry and it was very dry time. And for the last 2 weeks, it's just get fresh again, it's okay. So it's better, but...
What do you notice in the pears or the apples as you're tasting them that's different this year?
We get the most sweetness if it's drier.
It's dry,
because the fruit are smaller.
Small and concentrated.
But the acidity, the springtime was very wet, so the acidity should be quite okay. But I wait for the first analyze. We do acidity, the sweetness.
I see, yes.
By laboratory.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we wait for the... But my taste said should be a good balance. Weightage should be okay for me. But I wait because the bacteria or the yeast can make things wrong.
Yes.
It's easier and quicker, so I have to never...
How often do you go out to the orchard this time of year? Is it like a daily ride?
Every day,
yeah.
I can be everywhere on the cellar, the orchard.
Right.
I have three teams, so I have to manage everywhere. I think this morning I was tasting different trees, different variety, to see for next week if we go there, how we manage the picking.
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated. We do complicated job.
Yes, it's
because
not easy.
We it's in purpose. We
on purpose.
Yeah. Voilà, c'est ça, c'est
to keep on making it better, right?
Of course.
Yes,
voilà,
right.
It's exigence is to get comment dit selection.
Perfection?
Well, I don't know if it's perfection.
Perfection.
It's never happen anymore.
Okay.
Perfection is to do the best with a good quality.
Well, I'd like to hear your side of the story because we haven't really been able to talk too much about it. Eric Bordelais, you know, he's world-renowned sommelier turned cider maker, and the Nose and I got to spend a day with Eric. What was that like for you?
I fell in love with him almost immediately, especially with his mustache, but his personality. And
he has a handlebar mustache that curls over.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he's, on one hand, he's the quintessential, what I imagine the quintessential French man to be like. And on the other hand, he revealed himself in such a beautiful way. I really fell for his sensitivity and his vulnerability and his real honesty and his passion. He spoke a lot about his personal history, how he came into cider making, and I won't say too much because I know that episode hasn't come out yet, but just I really appreciated his desire to share with us who he is and who and how he came to be. In the cider world, and also just as his own evolution in his personal growth, I felt he was very willing to share, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, he became very transparent to us, and I think it actually surprised him. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think the combination of our personalities helped put him at ease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he put us on these. And it's all kind of touch and go when you meet somebody and you're coming from so far away. But his love for, like, those pear trees, mm-hmm. for all the plant life and everything, it was sad to say goodbye. And just to give you a little background, Ciderville, and what happened, you know, we met him at the hotel. Then we had lunch, and so I recorded the whole chat during lunchtime, which you'll be hearing. And then we went in his car out to the orchard where these really, really old pear trees are.
300 years old. 300 they were huge. Old.
Huge.
I've never seen pear trees that big.
Yeah. But I want to say, in that region, we actually saw quite a few pear trees, and we went to the Musée du Poiret. And saw some very old pear trees, too. So I was actually surprised that there were some, you know, not just in his orchard. And then from there, we went over to his home, and which is not really an open public tasting area. He has a tasting room there where he greets guests. He's working on what used to be a castle that burned down at one point, and now he's bringing it back. This is a family property. And then...
And we were trying to remember the name for tack. Tack room.
A tack room, where the tasting room was. Yeah, it was an old tack room for horses. That's what the tasting room is. And then a colleague, a chef that he'd worked with for 30 years and a group of people had showed up. And he was like, he said, well, Rhea, you know, you want to take my car back to the hotel? You know, because it's going to be a while and then we'll go out to dinner. And
he was
like,
super kind.
Oh, sure, I could drive that. You know, that's like my size. But anyways, so then we met for dinner. And would you know, he takes us out to an Irish bar where he goes and practices speaking English. Because this, I think, is very important for Ciderville to hear and makers around the world. Is one of the things that he believes is that you really need to learn to speak English in order to export your products around the world.
And I love that he went to Scotland and hung out at a couple of pubs to do that for several months. That he created his own education there.
Yeah, he did. He did. And, you know, in the meantime, I'm thinking I need to learn French and German and Espanol so I could improve my work as a podcaster talking about cider. But he really believes in the English language. And we were drinking beer. We ended up just ending the night drinking beer. I mean, that was cool. Hanging out with Eric Borlée with drinking beer. That was like a real highlight for me. What an awesome guy. I can't wait to go through all that. Going towards next week, I want to just kind of move through this and just say folks will be seeing you at Cider Days.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I will be selling hats, mm-hmm. Cider Chat hats, Ciderville. Ciderville? Yeah. Cider Chat.
You haven't seen them yet.
I haven't.
No, neither have I, but I know they're going to be awesome. Because we had some really awesome ones last year.
We did.
Yeah.
And they all sold.
They all sold. So you're going to be outside the Buckland and Shelburne Community Center.
That's right.
With the hats on Saturday. And I think you're going to be doing some volunteer work too, right?
On Sunday, I will be in Old Deerfield.
Old Deerfield, as will I. So you'll see us there, and we're going to be at the second session of the Cider Salon, mm-hmm. and that's going to be just another great year of a Cider Day. So if you see the nose, she is a brunette, long hair, brunette, and we'll probably be wearing a jacket that says "See You in Ciderville" on the back and Cider Chat.
Passing out Cider Chat business cards.
Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff for staying in touch. So
I'll have the big smile on my face.
Right now, I'll have the grin that says, "Oh, I've been having."
Is there such a thing as too much cider? I don't think so. But you didn't want to even say that out loud, did you?
I did not. No, mm-hmm. No.
But I know how to read your mind.
I have a DD.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
I'm really DD. Just in case you're wondering, Ciderville, the nose is definitely the DD in this party.
That is going to be a ton of fun. So I want to really encourage folks who see either one of us to tap us on the shoulder. I'll be on my recorder. And at this Saturday's, I really want to be talking to the attendees and getting some, I have some questions I'll be asking people, so do not be shy. Even if you don't want to be recorded, just to say hi and
if celebrate. If one person says, hi, knows, that will make my day. I will feel famous. We welcome hello.
We don't ask for much, just a little bit of recognition. It's all good. Well, thank you so much for your support over the past year and being in the nose and being there when we were out in the world all those different times and helping me kind of figure out. Because, you know, from the outside, the podcast looks like it might be really easy to do. But on the inside, you know just how much it takes for each and every week to do this consecutively for 52 weeks.
It's a lot.
To get a podcast out. It's a real big labor of love on so many different levels.
What an amazing year, and I really appreciate the nose for stopping by and recording that chat with me. It helps a little bit because there's so many things that you start forgetting after a year goes by. But I don't want to forget, before we sign off, a couple things here. First off, I want to just bring us up to date with some of the new folks who have joined the Cider Chat Facebook page. And the first person we have is from the Netherlands. And I'm going to be working through these different names here, so I apologize in advance if I don't say it quite right. I'm doing my best. But this person from the Netherlands, the first name is Jurgen. So that's exciting. And I think the region that you're in actually has a cidery. I wonder if you are connected. So please send me a message and let me know. I'd like to follow up on that. I don't know where this next place is, but it sounds like something close to all our hearts because it's Ithilien Farm. And then there's Dennis France, and he is from Handmade Cider Company in the UK. So welcome, Dennis. So nice to have you along. I always watch out for what's going on in the UK, and I really want to get over there and do some chats. Then we have two people from Japan. The first person is Yasushiro from Nagano, and then there's Sigiru, also from Japan. And, you know, I'm seeing apples on both these folks, their pages, and I think to the two of you, I'm probably going to be sending you a little bit of a Facebook friend request so that we could stay connected. Really excited you've joined the Cider Chat Facebook page. And then there is Edward from the UK, and Farmer Paul, who I don't know where Farmer Paul is from, but there's a lot of apples on that Facebook page. So again, wouldn't mind hooking up and you know, just staying connected. In the meantime, I want to give you an update for next week. Next week's chat will be with Michelle McGrath, who is the first executive director, really, for the United States Association of Cider Makers. I think the past one was not totally full-on executive director. Well, anyways, we'll catch up on that chat. And you should know that she will be at Cider Days. In fact, I think Emily Ritchie's going to be there too from the Northwest. It's like a contingent of people's coming out from Cider Days. So it's going to be a busy, busy weekend. If you see Michelle and give her a shout out and say, hey, I heard you on Cider Chat. And if you listen to Cider Chat on your way to Cider Days, well, maybe you'll have some good questions for her. Or at the very least, welcome her aboard and wish her all the best. And then following up after that chat, well, I'm working hard on getting Eric Bordelais' chat out, and I hope you really appreciate that little tidbit as the nose and I were driving along with Eric on our way out to his place and stopping at some orchards. And one of those was the pear orchard that everybody speaks about, that he has those 300-year-old pears. There'll be some photos there. Along with the photo for this week's podcast, there is a photo of the nose and I in the Netherlands. And there'll be a photo of Judith Maloney, so you'll be able to recognize her if you are at Cider Days. And lots of mentions on this week's chat. What I've tried to do is to give you a little bit of a timeline so you could kind of go directly to all the folks who are kind of playing along here. And that is like Apples and Perrin and Vaterbils and, you know, different episodes where people announce, and Paul Zacco, the Cider Maker of the Year. So if you go to the show notes for episode of 52, you'll be able to find that there. And I'd also like to thank the folks who are patrons of Cider Chat and the two cideries, both Current Cider from Percocet, Pennsylvania, and Big Apple Hard Cider from New York City, who are supporters of Cider Chat's Cider Going Up campaign. If you are a commercial cider maker and you would like to support a, well, I guess you could kind of call it almost a non-biased, non-partisan podcast where we're promoting all cider. Cider is the brand here, along with Perry, of course. Then please join the Cider Going Up campaign at Patreon. And one more shout out to wearepr.co. They are a social media company helping small businesses, perhaps like yours, get on the map and get the word out about your products. Check them out at wearepr.co. There'll be a link to them on the show notes and at the website for ciderchat.com. Well, now, it has been a really nice time to reminisce with you all. And we have a little bit of cider here left over from the trip. I'm going to crack that open once I get off air here and raise that glass high and tip it just a wee bit to all of you. Then, you know, I'm going to tip a little bit to the ground. Just, well, just in the ritual of maybe a little bit of my own type of wassail as I look past this amazing year. With deep gratitude for everyone who has helped move Cider Chat out into the forefront by taking the time to grab a glass and join a chat with me. This is Rio Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Hi, this is Jeff Robinson. I'm with Castle Hill Cider in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Hi, this is Margo Sandersen from Het Ciderhuis in Utrecht, the Netherlands.
Hi there. My name is Randall Graham. I'm the winemaker of Bonnie Dune Vineyard in Santa Cruz, California.
This is Ryle Schallenberger from Northwest Mobile Juicing in Missoula, Montana.
Hi, this is Joe Getz from Current Cider in Percocet, Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Chris Jackson from Freedom Farm TV in Franklin, Georgia.
This is John Bunker of FETCO Trees in Maine. I'm also involved with the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association and our Apple CSA called Out on a Limb CSA in Palermo, Maine.
Hi, this is Darlene Hayes from Sebastopol, California, where I write about cider at a blog called allintocider.com, and I have a book called Cider Cocktails, Another Bite of the Apple.
Hi, this is Neil MacDonald from Somerset in the UK, Orchard Park Farms.
Hi, this is Kurt Scher from Millstone Cellars in Maryland.
Hi, this is Bill Bradshaw from Bill Bradshaw Photography in Somerset, England.
Hi, this is Gregory Hall from Virtue Cider in lovely Fenville, Michigan.
Hi, this is Alex Steinmetz of Busky Cider in Richmond, Virginia.
You're the first cider maker I've been able to speak to. Mm. So that's really...
There's not that many.
I know. How many are there? Like three or four?
Yes.
This is Jim Wallace from Sheldon Falls, Massachusetts. And I am the tech guy for cheesemaking.com, in addition to making a lot of fermented beverages.
Hi, this is Neil Worley from Worley Cider in England.
This is Aaron Anderson with Austin E Ciders from Austin, Texas.
Hi, this is Tom Oliver from Oliver Cider and Perry in Oakle Pitchard, Herefordshire, England.
Hi, this is Nat West of Reverend Nat's Hard Cider in Portland, Oregon.
Hello, everyone. This is Sam Reid from William Smith & Sons in Tasmania, Australia. And I also am president of Cider Australia, which is the cider industry body representing the cider industry in Australia.
Hi, I'm Nicole LeBon from Farnham Hill Ciders in Lebanon, New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Adam Krakowski, author of Vermont Prohibition, Teetotalers, Bootleggers, and Corruption, a new book focusing on the history of Prohibition and the effects it had on the state of Vermont.
Hi, this is Danielle Von Scheiner from Big Apple Hard Cider in New York City.
Hey, this is Shannon Edgar, based in Sherbourne, Massachusetts, with Stormalong Cider.
Hi, this is Tim Larson from Snowdrift Cider Company out of Wenatchee, Washington.
Hi, this is Eric Foster from Stem Ciders in Denver, Colorado.
Hello, this is Andreas Sundgren from Brandland Cider in Sweden.
Hi, this is Diego Rivera from Quebrada del Chucao in Villarrica, Chile.
Hi, this is Emily Ritchie in Portland, Oregon, the Executive Director of the Northwest Cider Association.
Hi, this is Sarah Grady from Glenwood.
Hi, this is Jen Smith from New York Cider Association.
Hi, this is Colin Davis from Shaxbury Cider in Vermont.
Yeah, hi, my name is Sebastian Lusada, and I'm the cider maker at Flag Hill Farm in central Vermont, in Verscher, Vermont.
Hi, this is Dr. John Klein from the University of Guelph, the Simcoe Research Station in Simcoe, Ontario, in Canada.
Hi, this is Derek Bakowski from the University of Guelph in Guelph, Ontario, Canada.
Hi, this is Didier Bedu, president of the IDAC.
Hello, this is Marie Tanaka from Wine Styles in Tokyo. I'm the owner of a wine shop in the east side of Tokyo. I also import English cider directly from England.
Going up. Going up.
Yeehaw!